This is NITV Radio News. I'm Bethan Smolenik. In this bulletin, businesswoman Josephine Cashman is dropped from the Indigenous Voice Advisory Group. The Queensland government sends disaster response experts into Aurukun following widespread unrest. And in tennis, Australia's Ashley Barty is into the Australian Open semi-finals. Minister for Indigenous Australians Ken Wyatt has sacked businesswoman Josephine Cashman from the Indigenous Voice to Parliament Advisory Group. The decision comes in the wake of Ms Cashman's ongoing criticism of author and historian Bruce Pascoe and his book Dark Emu. Ms Cashman just last month wrote to the Australian Federal Police claiming Mr Pascoe was lying about being Indigenous in order to claim Aboriginal funding, an accusation which has been proven incorrect. In a statement, Mr Wyatt wrote the committee found Ms Cashman's actions were not conducive to the constructive and collaborative approach required to progress the co-design process. Speaking to NITV, Mr Wyatt says the controversy has detracted from the important work the Advisory Council is trying to do.
This sniping between two people is detracting from the work of The Voice, and that disappoints me. I don't need the Andrew Bolts of this world telling me that I should resign, because we are trying to find solutions for Aboriginal people.
Yolongu Elder and Wurrumirri Tribal Chief Terry Yumbalul has addressed News Corp columnist Andrew Bolt's false attributing of a letter to his name. In a statement, Mr Yumbalul reiterates he was not the author of the letter Mr Bolt published in his Herald Sun blog on the 26th of January. The letter published said Mr Yumbalul had denounced Aboriginal historian Bruce Pascoe and implied businesswoman Josephine Cashman had a leadership role within his Indigenous community. Statements the Wurrumirri chief has made clear he did not say. He says they are both untrue and factually inaccurate as leadership roles are based on bloodline. The Queensland government is sending disaster response experts into the Indigenous town of Aurukun following violent unrest. Riots triggered by the murder of a 37-year-old man on New Year's Day have forced around 300 people to flee the town and seek refuge in other areas of the Cape York region. Far North Queensland police officers Dwayne Amos and Tracy Hartling are being sent in with former Aurukun Shire Council CEO Gary Glyden to handle the situation and help the community recover. 8 homes were also torched during the riots, with 3 teenagers charged for the fatal stabbing. The World Health Organization has raised the coronavirus risk level from moderate to high, but is yet to declare the outbreak an international emergency. The virus has killed 106 people in China, with around 4,500 confirmed cases of coronavirus globally, 5 in Australia. The city of Wuhan, where the virus broke out, and the surrounding Hubei province are on lockdown, with some countries now banning flights from China. WHO spokesperson Christian Lindmeier says the virus doesn't yet constitute an international emergency, as the outbreak has mainly been isolated to China.
It's an emergency in China, but I would beg to differ on the definition of what you just put out as in wildly spreading. It's not wildly spreading outside of China, but again, we have to be prepared for in case it would.
Australian scientists have reportedly created the first lab-grown version of the coronavirus, paving the way for a vaccine. The ABC reports researchers at Melbourne's Peter Doherty Institute for Infection and Immunity have replicated the virus, making them the first outside of China to do so. The lab-grown virus, which was developed from an infected patient, will be shared with the World Health Organization before being given to labs around the world, with the hope it will lead to a vaccine being developed. An Aboriginal inmate at Ravenhall Correctional Centre in Melbourne is alleged to have been starved by a prison guard. The officer responsible for the abuse has been suspended, with the Herald Sun reporting he was marched off the site in mid-January. It remains unclear how long the Indigenous prisoner went without food or medical treatment. Victoria's Aboriginal Legal Service is deeply saddened by the incident and says it highlights the need for greater protections for Indigenous people in prison. Support for the Nationals' deputy leader, Bridget McKenzie, within her own party is wavering as the sports grant scandal deepens. An Auditor-General report deemed Ms McKenzie had ignored the advice of Sports Australia and hand-chosen the sports clubs which would receive part of their $100 million scheme's funding. an accusation Senator Mackenzie, the then sports minister, has denied, with an investigation underway into whether she breached ministerial standards. National's frontbencher Darren Chester could replace Senator Mackenzie if she was to resign, but when asked about the scandal by the ABC, refused to take a stance.
I'm being talked about as someone who might replace her, so it would be fairly churlish of me to be talking about Bridget, whether she has my support or not. Bridget's a friend of mine. If I say one thing, you'll say I'm standing by a friend. If I say the other thing, you say I'm trying to get a new job. So it's best if I let the process take its course.
The ACT is facing another day of dangerous bushfire conditions, with a blaze burning south of Canberra expected to cloak the city in smoke. Firefighters worked throughout the night to try and contain the Oraral Valley fire, with embers from the blaze threatening properties near Tharwa. The ACT Emergency Services Agency warns heavy smoke from the fires is likely to impact on air quality in Canberra. A very high fire danger remains in place in the territory, with temperatures up to 36 degrees Celsius forecast today. New Zealand rights activists in Australia are taking the federal government to court over citizenship laws. The lobby group Kiwis in Australia argues the 2001 citizenship law change means 250,000 New Zealanders who live in Australia are forced to live like second-class citizens. New Zealanders are able to work in Australia under the non-protected special category visa, but have limited access to healthcare and welfare. David Faulkner from the lobby group says they've been forced to take legal action as the Australian government has ignored their pleas.
Although they've had quite a deal of success with the opposition parties, they just haven't been able to make a dent with the coalition government at all. So it was simply seen that this was the only viable alternative for the next few years is to attempt a legal action.
The United States President Donald Trump has unveiled his long-awaited Middle East peace plan. The plan includes the proposed creation of a Palestinian state with a capital in East Jerusalem and would see the US recognize Israeli settlements on the West Bank. In exchange, Israel would agree to a four-year freeze on creating new settlements in order to give Palestinians time to negotiate their statehood. The plan aims to end one of the world's longest-running conflicts, and President Trump says the plan is a win-win for both sides.
As I have seen throughout my long career as a dealmaker, complex problems require nuanced, fact-based remedies. That is why our proposal provides precise technical solutions to make Israelis, Palestinians, and the region safer. My vision presents a win-win opportunity for both sides. A realistic two-state solution that resolves the risk of Palestinian statehood to Israel's security.
Turning to sport, Tennis Australia has slammed two former players for their protest to rename Margaret Court Arena after Indigenous champion Yvonne Goolagong. Former greats John McEnroe and Martina Navratilova on Tuesday carried a banner reading Yvonne Goolagong Arena onto the court. Actions TA says breach protocol with an investigation underway. Margaret Court has been heavily criticised for her controversial views on same-sex marriage and transgender athletes. TA argues while her views don't align with its value of inclusiveness, she's entitled to her opinion. The protest came just hours after Aboriginal player Ashley Barty became the first Australian woman in 36 years to reach the Australian Open semi-finals. Barty defeated Czech player Petra Kvitova 7-6, 6-2 to secure her spot and says she's looking forward to another match on home soil.
I'm excited. My team's excited. We love the opportunity of getting another match out on that beautiful court. I'm here to try and do the best that I can, and obviously it's exciting, and hopefully I can bring a smile to a few faces around our country and around the world. But for me, it's trying to do the best that I can and find that enjoyment for myself and my team.
And now a look at today's weather. Perth, partly cloudy and 27. Very hot and sunny for Adelaide, 38. Sunny for Melbourne, 29. Hobart, partly cloudy, 27. 35 in Canberra with smoke haze. Partially cloudy for Wollongong, 25. Much the same in Sydney, 27. Cloudy for Newcastle, 28. Albury-Wodonga, sunny and 37. Partially cloudy for Brisbane, 33. Townsville, a shower or two and a possible storm, 31. Similar conditions in Cairns, 37. Alice Springs, a shower or two and a possible storm, 36. A possible shower or storm in Darwin, 33. And in the Torres Strait Islands, hot and a possible storm, 30. That was NITV Radio News.